See if you can finish this sentence for yourself. Leaving was hard when... Can you add something on the end? Leaving was hard when I was in hospital. I desperately wanted to get out of hospital. It was a bad place in some ways and a good place in others, and I desperately wanted to get out. I had just had major surgery to my spine. They had cut my throat at the front, gone in through, and taken out a bunch of my spine and put in plastic and titanium, and I was in a lot of pain. And leaving was hard. I'm not sure whether I was supposed to do it, but I left secretly. I was up to walking, shuffling around the ward, and I just kept shuffling past the nurse's desk and then around and doing laps, and I just kept going. And I got to the elevator and I thought, I shouldn't do this. I was on drugs, so, you know, this is okay. I hit the button and I got in the elevator, and as I went down, I felt every jolt and every bump and every tilt, everything hurt. And I thought to myself, wow, elevators are weird. I got out into the lobby and I kind of staggered around with all my dressings on and all this stuff, and every person was a threat. Every person was about to knock me over, I thought. I stumbled all the way up to the front doors and I just stood there. Like a child wanting to escape childcare, I stood at those sliding doors and I watched people going out thinking, I really want to go out there, but it's hard. I looked to the left and the right, waiting for someone with a taser to come and stun me and stop me, and I hobbled out of the hospital. The first thing that happened when I hobbled out of the hospital is I stood at the front doors and I felt the air. The air in the hospital was climate controlled and sterile, and the air out there was crazy. I could feel all these different breezes and smells, and the air was out of control outside the hospital. And then in my hospital slippers, I told my wife I did this. She was not happy with me. I started to walk down the path and I thought to myself, the ground out here is crazy. Back in the hospital, the ground was smooth and it had carpet most of the time, and it was easy to learn to walk. But out here, the ground is all like jumbly and up and down, and you could trip easily. And it's also moving around, which is a bit odd. And then some kids whizzed straight up at me in their skateboards, and I cowered. And they missed me, thank goodness. And I suddenly thought to myself, it's a lot harder out here because there's no skateboards in there. And in there I had rails and climate control and a button I could press for more drugs and a button for the nurses, and it was safe in there and it's not safe out here. Leaving is really hard. Crossing the street's even harder. And so as I crossed the street, I realised that cars are much more dangerous than skateboards. Somehow I made it. And I sat down on a park bench on the opposite side of the road, only 30 metres from the hospital, and I sat there looking back at my prison with a smile on my face. And the sun was shining on me. I hadn't felt the sun for some time, and I realised that the sun is hot, and the sun is dangerous, and everything out here is random. Anything could happen. A car could just smash up onto the pavement, and I'd be gone, or the sun could get hotter, and the wind's blowing. Everything's different. But it's all so good. Now, can you finish this sentence for yourself? Leaving was hard when? Leaving was hard when? Well, for me, leaving was hard when I left Adelaide for North Queensland. Leaving was hard when I left my home for somebody else to live in and use all my stuff. Leaving was hard when I was leaving a relationship. Leaving was hard when I had to leave my former church and got called here. Leaving hospital was hard. And leaving behind my old friend Caffeine was terribly hard. So I would like to ask you to talk to somebody nearby you for a moment. And I would like you to just maybe answer for them, leaving was hard when? Well, actually, no, you're going to do that in your Bible study groups. If you're not in a Bible study group, get in one. Talk to us and we'll get you in one. Answer this question instead. Why is leaving hard? Even leaving a bad thing can be hard. Leaving an abusive situation is very, very hard. Over to you. Tell somebody nearby, why is leaving hard for us? All right, everyone. Can I just get three responses? Why is leaving hard? Just keeping in mind that it might be different for different people and that there are many kinds of leaving and many things to leave, some of which you should leave and others probably you shouldn't. So can I just ask three people, does anyone want to share, why is leaving hard? I'm going to go to you, Valeria.
We get into habits.
Ah, human beings, we're creatures of habit. We like to turn the present into eternity, don't we? You can have the mic, Pete, because I love
your work. Attach ourselves to too much and too many.
Okay. And one more. I'm going to go over to this corner, which never gets a shot. Why is leaving hard? Can I go to you, Kevin? Yeah?
Uncertainty of whatever the new thing is.
Wow, that's really good. Now, I want to talk with you today about one of the hardest kinds of leaving, and that is leaving behind the stuff that Jesus tells you to leave behind, to follow him. But before I get into that, I just want to make it clear that I am talking today about leaving, healthy leaving, when you are called spiritually to leave something behind. I'm not talking about fleeing, and I'm not talking about deserting. Some people are cowards, and they desert. They spend their whole lives running away from stuff that they need to stay for. I'm not talking about that today, and I'm not recommending it. Please don't let this sermon become an excuse to leave something or someone when you're actually fleeing or deserting. Some people leave because they can't forgive. I'm not talking about that. Some people leave because they can't reconcile. They can't let go of anger. They can't let go of a grudge. Some people leave because of hatred. They hate. I'm not talking about that stuff, okay? Some people leave because they simply can't commit. They just can't actually stick with it. I'm not talking about that. Got it? I'm talking about a different kind of leaving that we actually find in the Bible. The Bible actually talks about leaving. And I want you to know that to grow spiritually, you're going to have to learn to leave. You know, living is leaving. In your groups this week, I'm going to ask you to think about all different kinds of leaving. Maybe it's leaving the womb, leaving home, leaving school, leaving your job and retiring. Life is just a series of leavings, and they can either be healthy or unhealthy. We're about to get a second pastor at Emmanuel in June. Doug. For Doug to come here, he's had to announce his resignation at Pacific Lutheran College. And that had to go out this week. Is that right, Doug? Or am I last week? I imagine that some people at Pacific are saying, why are you leaving me? And it must be hard for Doug. Others are going, woohoo! No, they're not. It must be really hard for Doug at this time to be leaving that life and that ministry that he has there. So just keep a careful eye on him, would you? Look after him in this process. And one of the reasons that leaving is so hard is because one of the things that leaving means is it means saying no. When Doug leaves Pacific College, he's saying yes to a call to ministry to become our second pastor here at Emmanuel. He's saying yes to us. But in a sense, he's actually saying no to his old life at Pacific. And that's okay. That's healthy. If you can't say no, then your yeses mean nothing. If you're the sort of person that says yes to everything, your yeses are ineffective. Leaving, actually, I think one of the reasons that leaving is so hard is because leaving means saying no. No to that and yes to this. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about following Jesus. Following Jesus actually means saying no to some things in order that I might say yes to Jesus. Okay, let's look at some leaving in the Bible, biblical examples of leaving. Some of these are fundamental to the way that Christians think, and they're weird to other people. Keep that in mind. The first example of leaving in the Bible is on page 2, Genesis chapter 2. And these words about leaving are actually in the Bible at least 4 times. So they must be important. They're repeated at least 3 more times. Would you read them with me? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This passage is about marriage. It's about how people who follow Jesus view relationships. And do you notice that it mentions three parts to marriage? All the Christian churches around the world share the idea that marriage has these three parts. What are they? Number one, leaving, just to leave. Number two, holding fast. That's commitment. And number three, one flesh. That's physical and sexual. We have a definition of marriage that starts with leaving. And do you know what is one of the greatest causes of relationship difficulties all over the world, and especially in Australia? Oh, it's money, by the way. Money gets number one on all the surveys for things that cause marital problems. But here's a thing that causes marital problems. Mothers-in-law. And fathers-in-law. It's true. Someone was talking to me this week about their in-laws causing trouble in their marriage. And the reason that in-laws often cause trouble in marriage is because we don't understand the art of leaving. And marriage is a form of leaving. When you marry someone, you're actually leaving your father and mother behind. That becomes secondary to who you are. And your marriage partner becomes primary to who you are. And if I'm not saying that you have to move out of the home. There are plenty of examples of really great married people living in the same building. But you emotionally need to detach yourself from your parents as the primary things in your life in marriage. It's leaving them and saying, no, we are primary. Does that make sense? And so it causes all sorts of problems in marriage when people don't understand leaving and when parents don't understand leaving and let those young people make all those silly mistakes that they make. Oh, they're so stupid, if I could just help them with everything. No, marriage is about leaving, and that's tough. This is a spiritual thing, and it's healthy. It's not forsaking them. You still love your parents. You still have a good relationship with them, but they are no longer primary. Another example, you can read this with me if you would like. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's family to the land I will show you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him. God asked Abram. He gave him a name change later. He became Father Abraham later. But right now, he's still called Abram. He's asked to leave three things. Can you see them? What are the three things in this one? Got it? He's asked to leave his country. I think that the indigenous people of Australia would understand this verse far better than a lot of us, than a lot of you whiteys. Because they understand what my country means, what my land means. They have a connection to land, which the ancients had too, which Abram had. They know the smell of their land, and they know the timings and the season. And they, Abram was a nomad. He wandered around. He knew where to go to get the right things, and he knew his land, and he was asked to leave his country. That's profound. Don't miss it. Secondly, God asks him to leave what? His people. He's asked, basically, to become a migrant or a refugee. Abraham should be a great encouragement to people who have had to leave their land and their people, and there are many of them in the room. That's what God asked him to leave, to go into a completely unfamiliar place. And finally, God asks him to leave his father's family and set out. See this leaving thing? This leaving thing is an important part of the Christian faith. And I think sometimes we think that we can have our cake and eat it and that we can have Jesus plus, but we can't. To follow Jesus, you have to leave some things behind. Another example, the people of Israel. They left Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. And what do we call this great event in history when the people of Israel left Egypt? Exodus. And Exodus means ex, out, Hodos, road. The road out. It means leaving. God saved them, and that's a symbol for us now. We are people that God has put on the Exodus road. He's leading us out. And finally, here's a kind of leaving. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. And Proverbs 9, leave your foolish ways, leave them, and live and walk in the way of insight. As you grow and mature in your faith walk, there will be leavings. You will leave some of the less mature ways that you thought about things, and you'll find new ways to think about things, and you'll encounter strange new experiences and lands where all of a sudden your old ways of thinking don't make sense and God reforms your faith. Have you experienced that? You will again. There's not just one leaving with Jesus, there's many. So, here's the big question. What must we leave to follow Christ? Think about that for a moment. What must we leave to follow Christ? That's what you're going to be thinking about this week in your Bible study groups. Something that's still resonating in my heart and soul is that big mountain climb I did in the holidays. 3 days hiking in the mountains with some mates and my daughter and one of my mates' godchild. And one of the big things about that hike was leaving things behind. There's always a newbie. There's always somebody who's never done a multi-day hike carrying all their own food and all their own water and all their own stuff. And in this case, it was my dear beloved cousin Nathan, who is also a pastor. We're the only pastors in the family. It's okay. We're not. It just happened. I'm going to exaggerate. This isn't exactly what happened for Nathan, but we'll pretend. Nathan sticks on his pack and he kind of wobbles a bit. And the leader of our group gets out his scales and weighs it and goes, oh my goodness, you can't carry that for 3 days, you'll die. What's in there? Nathan says, well, just got a few bits. I thought, well, we need to hammer in the tent pegs. And the leader says, nah, we do that with rocks. That'll kill you, you're not carrying that. Nathan's like, oh, well, then I probably don't need the other tools, the wrench and the rivet gun and the screwdrivers, and no, those things will weigh you down. You won't make it. And Nathan's like, oh. So we go through his pack, and we're like, what's this? I've got to have my coffee. I've got to have my coffee in the morning. Nathan, you can't do that. It will kill you. Besides which, we're not allowed to light fires on the mountain. Huh. I'm exaggerating terribly, aren't I? But this is a good fun version. Then what else have we got in here, Nathan? Pear slices, keeps him regular in the morning. Can't live without them. One of the rules, for those of you who go on multi-day hikes, and you know that I love this stuff, never take canned food. It's too heavy. Look at all the liquid in that. What a waste. Take dried food, not canned food. Well, he says, I suppose then I should probably get rid of this because I really do like my music. And so we were supposed to be setting out on our hike. We were supposed to be leaving, but we actually... He didn't have all that stuff, but he had versions of other stuff. We took literally an hour and a half getting our backpacks ready before we could finally hike, and we had to leave a whole heap of stuff behind. And I'm saying to you that this is a bit like following Jesus. There are things that as you follow Jesus will weigh you down. The old life... There are things that weigh you down, and you've just got to leave them behind. And sometimes, along the way, you discover them more. Jesus, God, the Spirit shows them to you. So I want to just quickly finish by asking you to reflect on this Bible passage. It's very, very harsh. And if you join us in a group this week, we're going to work out what it means. What should we leave behind? They're going along the road and someone says to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. That's pretty bold, isn't it? And Jesus says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What is he saying to this guy? That's for you to think about this week. What is Jesus saying to this man that he must leave behind to go on a spiritual journey? Well, just grab a copy of the Bible study and think about it this week. Another person, Jesus says to them, follow me. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus says to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Is anyone worried about this one? Ouch. Here's a question for you. Was this man grieving? I can tell you with certainty, no. Was this man's father dead? I can tell you with certainty, no. Was there currently preparations for a funeral underway for this man's father? I can tell you with certainty, no. You know how I know? Because if that was occurring, he wouldn't have been there. In the time of Christ, the funeral ritual was long. It was like a week. And there were all sorts of different steps and traditions that one had to follow to do this properly. And if this man's father was dead, he wouldn't have been there. And if this man's father was dying, what was he doing out chasing this weird rabbi? He should have been there with his father. When you read this text this week, just consider that this man's father probably wasn't even dying. He's fine. But this man, what is he being told to leave behind? Good question. A lot of people say maybe it's dead ritual. You can think that through for yourself. The final thing that Jesus says, he says to the third person this. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Ouch. That's getting even worse. It's like there's this progression of Jesus just getting meaner and meaner to people who say, I'm ready for the journey. What's going on here? Does Jesus have a right to say that? Well, that's for you to think about this week. Why does he want to go back home? What's going on there? And does he think that following Jesus means he'll never get to talk to them again anyway? What is Jesus saying to leave behind? That's for you to reflect on and think through. I'm not going to make it easy and answer it all for you today, because I think that this verse might be calling you to leave behind some different things, depending on where you're at in your journey. I'm going to finish with an opportunity for you to just close your eyes, and I'm going to speak the word of God to you. I'm going to speak the love of God into your life and into your heart, and I'm going to speak about the greatest leaving in all history. Just slow down and hear this, because this is the truth. This is God. This is who God is and how God is. This is God and God's attitude to you. Christ Jesus was in very nature God, with all the glory and all the power of God, with all the majesty of the creator of the universe, but he did not consider that something to be kept, to be held on to. Instead, he let go. He left the glories of heaven and he made himself nothing, and he took the nature of a servant or a slave, and he was made human just like you. God left everything for you. God became mortal for you in Jesus Christ. And being just like you, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is what I'm saying. God left everything for you in Jesus Christ. God felt that leaving the glories of heaven, leaving immortality, was worth it for you. God left everything to show you that you are worth loving. And that is proved on the cross of Jesus. Just hear that in your soul and soak it in and believe it, because it's true. And so this week, the question for you that we want to ask is, what is Jesus calling you to leave? Amen. We're going to pray now, and then we're going to have an offering and sing, and I just need a volunteer to clean up the backpack. Thanks. Let's pray.